love you here this morning, Lord. And we give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know that we were created to praise the Lord. Now, therefore, Lord, let his spirit and garment of praise always be with us. In the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody says, somebody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus again. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this morning, a living sanctuary, the tabernacle of praise. Amen. You know, so that's what we should be. Every one of us. So I want you to sit down. I want everybody who, if you are in the lobby, wherever, come on down, sit down and listen to this. The Lord is going to bless your hearts. Now, I am going to start in the book of Acts. And I am going to read from verse 15. Chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And I'm going to start here in verse 13. Acts 15 and verse 13. And after that they held their peace, James answered and said, men and brethren. So today I say unto you, men and brethren, brothers and sisters, everybody that's in the house of the Lord today, Simeon has declared unto us how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out a name for himself. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And somebody says, so a living sanctuary, the tabernacle of praise. I'm going to just give a quick background to some of these things. I mean, what exactly, where is it that God wants to tabernacle in? Where does he want to dwell? This is the subject today. You know, so let's look at Isaiah chapter 66. And here's God asking us a question in verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 66. So let's see what God will ask. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where's my tabernacle? And where is the place of my rest, saith the Lord? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man, that's right, will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. So where is the place that God wants to dwell in? Let's look at Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3. But thou art holy. Amen. That's right. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So we're laying a foundation here to see where exactly it is that God dwells or wants to dwell now. Now, so let's read something here just to make this very plain. There's a story here in the book of Acts chapter 7. And some of you might know this story when Stephen was about to be stoned. And he was preaching this wonderful message that he preached. And I'm going to just read about seven or so verses. I'll pick it up at verse 44 of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, I'm going to pick it up at verse 44. And here is Stephen in his message. And he said, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness. Now remember, we're talking about the tabernacle of praise. So there was a type of things that God did in the Old Testament. So our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. You know, even as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the pattern or the fashion that he had seen. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles. You know, that's Joshua. Whom God, he drove out the Gentiles before them, you know, before the face of our fathers, unto the days of David. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. So you know that David wanted to build a tabernacle for the God of Israel. But Solomon built him an house. Now, how be it? This is the story here this morning. How be it? The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. As saith the prophet. Now, so there are some paradoxes that God has put throughout the scriptures. And we're going to look at one of them today. If God doesn't dwell in houses made with hands, we read it already, verse 49. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that ye build me, and where is the place of my rest? We read it in Isaiah 66. And he said, you know, God doesn't dwell. I mean, David wanted to do it, build it. Solomon actually did build it, and we know the temple was incredible. But God doesn't dwell in temples. Amen. Amen. Not in temples made with hands. You know, that was all a type in the Old Testament. Now, let's read something here that throws out a paradox. Let's look at Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Now, this is the Lord speaking. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. Can somebody say amen? So right away we see that he's talking about building something. And you know, Jesus, he came out of the house of a carpenter. So when Jesus is talking about building, this is the paradox. This is one of the greatest paradoxes that Jesus puts out there, and the Lord did. When he's talking about building, everybody looking for him to build something, because he was a carpenter's son after all. They thought he was the son of Joseph, you know. And he grew up in the house of Joseph and so forth, carpentry by their trade and all that, you know, and so on. So he said, I will build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So naturally speaking, they're looking for him to build something or craft something. And it is a building. Praise the Lord. It is a building. It's just not a building made with brick and wood and mortar and glass. But it's a building, as we are told in Corinthians, that it is God that crafted it together for an habitation of himself through the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, so where is the place of his rest? In the book of Exodus 25, we see that God typed in so many things, but I'm not going to take time to read that, but you can read it. There's at least one verse there, Exodus 25, verse 40. You can put that one up. But the chapter talks about, you know, so many things that God wanted Moses to do. And he said, look, after the pattern that was showed thee in the mount, that's how you should do it. And God gave him all these things. Do this and do that. And there was the ark, and there was this other thing and so forth. And there was the mercy seat and everything that he asked him to do. But all of that was a type. Now, in the New Testament, all of that switches around. And today we want to see what is the place where God wants to dwell. Well, there was a place that God chose in the Old Testament, he said, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. If you want to put that up real quickly. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. And he also said the same thing in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 2. He said, you know, this is the place that I have chosen, you know. It's a place that he chose. you know, to put his name there. Well, that was also a type of Christ. Christ was the perfect tabernacle, and he was the firstborn among many brethren. But he was not the only one. God wanted with him to bring many sons unto glory. But he was the blue type, the perfect tabernacle. But what is the place where we are supposed to be? What is the thing that God wants from us the most today? And that's what we want to look at for just a few minutes. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says that we are a what? A chosen generation. Can I hear somebody say it? We are a what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. And a holy nation. A peculiar people. Now, he's talking about priesthood. He's talking about a kingdom of priests, as he said, even in Exodus 19. A kingdom of priests. You know, so that's why they're called a royal priesthood. And they're, you know, but what is this kind of priesthood? What is it that they are supposed to do? Well, we know the priests in the old days, you know, they come, they make sacrifice for sins and so forth like that, and cleansing the people and all that stuff. But this is a different kind of priesthood. Jesus took care of the sins. Amen. Amen, somebody. Jesus took care of that. We don't need to be making sacrifice for anybody's sins now. But what is this priesthood supposed to be doing? He has called you to show forth his praises. To show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. This is the role of this new priesthood. This is what we are supposed to be doing. Remember, God inhabits the praises of his people. That is the place of his dwelling, folks. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place of the Most High is in praising the Lord and in repeating his word. That's the secret place of the Most High. That is the place where I will meet with you, saith the Lord. The place, and you can notice even in your life, it is when you are in that spirit of worship, when you tuned everything out, when you are in worship and when you are connected with the Lord in praises, that's when the Holy Spirit speaks to your mind. That's when he gives you instruction. Everybody knows that. You know, that's the place where he wants to meet with you. That is the place of God's dwelling. That is his dwelling place. It's in the praises of his people. It's not in this building. I don't care how fancy, I don't care how beautiful the building is. God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. You cannot fit the, you know, say the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How then are you going to fit him in this puny building here? You cannot fit the Lord in a building. But he wants to tabernacle in man. And he said in the last days, I will revive that tabernacle that is laid down. The tabernacle of praise has been broken down. But in the last days, the tabernacle of David. Now, David was a man of praise. The Lord said, I will choose to sit on David's throne. Because the Lord knows that when you are around that throne, you will be praising the Lord. That's right. God fixed it. And that was the one thing that David had. Didn't matter his faults and everything, but he knew how to get under that praise. He knew how to say, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my hiding place. The Lord is even my defense. He's my strong city. He's my high tower. He knew how to praise the name of the Lord. And when he did that, the Bible said the Lord stood up. He blasted with his nostrils. Hallelujah. He answered with a thunder. And I said, can you have that kind of power with God? Yes, through your praises. Hallelujah. You can have the same kind of power that David had. You can move the hand of God through your praises. And especially when things are not going right. You prayed and prayed and things are not going right. But why don't you switch gear and put it into praises? Hallelujah, somebody. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God. They could have been in that situation grumbling and say, Lord, we were preaching your word. Why did you let us be in this dump and so forth? Why are we in this slammer and so on? But they began to praise the Lord. At midnight, they began to praise the Lord. And the next thing you know, the Holy Ghost, he came down, busted those prison doors. Somebody say, praise the name of the Lord. Now, the praises of God. In the book of Psalms 149, turn with me real quickly. Praise God. This is how you get the victory, folks. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 149 and verse 6. Well, first, let me just read it a little bit from verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud, even upon their beds. You know, there was something about the psalmist. He was always saying, praise the Lord. He was always saying, you know, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, this was the thing that he knew how to do. And he said, let the high praises of God. This is the victory, Lord. You know, folks, this is the victory that we have in the Lord. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Well, you got to have that one first before you can do the second part. You know, we always want to do the second part. We want to bind and we want to lose. We want to have a two-edged sword. We want to say whatever we say. No. But first, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And then they can wield that sword. Then they can use that sword. Because they don't even really have to do anything. When they are praising the Lord will stand up. And he will fight your battle. Hallelujah. You have seen the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. How he put the praisers before the army. Hallelujah. Well, he could have put the trained generals, you know, put all the trained people in front of the army and so forth. No. But he chose the people that were not skilled in battle, but they were skilled in a different kind of thing. He chose the people that were skilled in praises. And he put them in front of the army. Hallelujah, somebody. And he said, you go. Because when he heard the word of the Lord, that the battle is not yours, you will stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. Then he worshipped. He worshipped. And then he commanded the people. He brought all the sons of Asaph and all the instruments that David commanded. And he commanded the skilled, the most skilled people among the people. He said, now, you got your praise on. Get in front of the army. Amen. And when they got their praise on, the Bible said the Lord came down and put ambushments against their enemies. Now, if you want somebody, if you want the Lord to come down for you in your situation, you better know how to get your praise on. Hallelujah. If you can get your praise on, and if you can live a life of praise, walking in the praises of the Lord. The Bible says, and I will take the spirit of heaviness away from him. And I will put upon them the garment of praise. If you can wear that garment, you know, kind of like, you know, the priest in those days, they had the Urim and the Tumim. They had the ephod and so forth. And they had to put it on continually. Well, this is your garment now, saith the Lord. This is what you must put on now. You must put on his praises. Praise the name of the Lord. You must put on his praises, folks. And don't even let the high praises of God ever, ever diminish from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. David said in many scriptures, I don't have time to read them all, because I want us to do something at the end here. He said in many scriptures, Psalm 71 and 3, he talked about, you know, the Lord is my dwelling place. He's my habitation and so forth. Well, in contrary wise, you know, God wants to make us his own habitation and his own dwelling place as well. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read to you some of the secrets of praises in this wonderful book. Some of you may know the late Neil Frisbee. He wrote this thing. And there's a wonderful script here that talks about, you know, some of the benefits of praising the Lord. And let me just read part of it to you. This is a dynamic subject of praise. It is the rewarder of youth. It is a secret place of thunder wherein the Lord answers back. He's talking about praise. Can somebody say amen? Amen. By praising him, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul and giving you a healthy body. Amen. Praise will drive out infirm spirits and loosen the bones. Heart trouble will not overcome you. And even if you should have it, through praises, it will depart from you. Amen. Now, the Lord does not want us to continually just ask him for things and so forth. That's wonderful. But we were created to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's by eating lightly and praising the Lord will intensify the glory of God upon you. Now, he says also that even the dullness of ears, you know, if you have a hearing loss, you can begin to praise the Lord. Amen? That's right. If you have any kind of thing going on in your body that's, you know, not quite right, you can begin to praise the Lord. The dullness of ears will hear sharply. Even your complexion. Hallelujah, somebody. Your complexion will take on a new glow. Avon, step aside. The praises of the Lord give you even a better complexion. Your body will begin to glow, begin to shine by praising the Lord. Praising the Lord at intervals will drive all demon powers from you, and you shall rest in peace, sir. By praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Why is that so? Because the Lord dwells. And you know, when he comes in Isaiah chapter 6, I beheld and saw the Lord with his train when he came into the temple. You know, when the Lord comes, he comes with his glory. Now, if he's coming to make a dwelling place inside of you because of your praises, then you can guarantee that the Shekinah glory will be around you all the time. Hallelujah. Because wherever he goes, that glory goes. Wherever the Lord goes, that train goes. And if you open your eyes, or if somebody opens your eyes, they can see the glory of the Lord around you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, it says praising renews the youth. It renews your strength. It gives faith. And it allows the Holy Spirit to speak. We already talked about that. You know that too. When you are praising the Lord, that's when the Holy Spirit speaks. Praise exalts the Most High. Hallelujah. And it allows his Spirit to flow through us, providing a ministry for each of us according to how his Spirit will will it in our lives. Now, it also says this. I know people love this, the sound of this one. It says also prosperity is as close as one's lips if he knows how to continually praise the Lord. He said, no matter what confronts the person that praised the Lord, he will come out as a winner. Amen. No matter what confronts you, you will win when you know how to praise the Lord. And we've seen testimonies. I read you, I didn't read, but I summarized the testimony of Jehoshaphat. We've seen also many other people that knew how to praise the Lord. We saw the testimony of Paul and Silas, how they prayed their way out of prison. They praised their way out of prison. Hallelujah. Behold, saith the Lord, the God Almighty, praise is the guardian of the soul and the protector of thy body. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, you know, say, why is that so? Well, because the glory of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies, the Lord will tabernacle in his glory. Amen. That's right. And for all the glory, it shall be for a defense. Now, when the Lord is tabernacling in you, the glory of the Lord is your defense. Amen. It's around you. You say, even my glory shall be your rear reward. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is your protector. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if we know how to praise the Lord, and we're going to do one more segment here. You know, you can praise your way into your victory at any time. But not only when we are in church, folks. You know, a lot of people know how to praise the beauty of holiness when they're in church. You know, but what happens when you are not in church? What happens when you are all by yourself and that spirit of depression sets in? You know, you can get rid of it by praising the Lord. Amen. That's right. You can get rid of anything that confronts you by praising the Lord. There are so many. Say, why is it that there are so many secrets in praising the Lord? Because that is why we were created, is to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the reason why we were created, is to praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11. Let me read that if they want to put that up real quick. I will just read it real quick. This is the reason why we were created, is to praise the Lord. He says, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou, say it with me, folks, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that pleasure is in praising the Lord. That's how you give him pleasure, folks. Now, when you come into the church service like this, it's not about you impressing somebody else. It's the Lord you got to impress. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. The Lord is the audience. That's right. It's not the other way around. It is the Lord. Lord said, I will joy in Zephaniah. He said, I will joy in your assembly. Hallelujah. The Lord will rejoice in your praises. Now, if you can know how to beautify God with your praises, your problems, God will take care of them. Amen. Now, that's not to say that you'll never have any problems. Well, the only time you'll never have any problems is when you're out of this world. Amen. As long as you are in this world, Jesus said it himself, in this world ye shall have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world on your behalf. Now, we don't preach a message that says, we don't preach the gospel that says, oh, you know, you come to the Lord and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. No, sir. The devil is going to have something to say about that. You know, but are you going to give the devil an inch? No. I'm never going to give the devil an inch. Amen. The devil can go down to hell or wherever he wants, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. Is there somebody in the house that's going to praise the Lord? Are you going to be that kingdom of priests that are called to show forth his praises? This is the new priesthood, folks. God is looking for that sanctuary. I want you to put up that song back there that I asked you to put up. Put up that hymn for me back there. God wants us to be a living sanctuary. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. We're going to sing this together. The Lord wants us to be a sanctuary. He wants to tabernacle in us. Can somebody say amen? The Lord wants us to be that tabernacle of praise. The Lord wants us to be that place of his dwelling. Jesus, you know, wants us to be that kind of place where God will tabernacle. The Lord himself said, where is the place? Where is the tabernacle that you built for me? Now, I don't care, you know, if you say, well, you know, I don't like shouting. I don't like hollering and so forth. You shout, you holler, you do whatever, but you praise the Lord. Amen. Now, it's nothing wrong with shouting and hollering, folks. The psalmist said all over the Bible, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Some people say, well, I just want to be holy like and so forth like that. You know, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. They never cease even in heaven. Amen. Now, I want us to sing this song. This hymn. It says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. We're just going to sing this part, just this part. Lord, prepare me. Everybody sing with us. Be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Now, this is a prayer, Lord. Right and true. Prepare me to be a living sanctuary, Lord, with the skin. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I want you to sing it again. Lord, prepare me. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure, holy, tried through with the skin. Arriba shen, arriba basolia. Sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me. And I want to ask those who want to be a living sanctuary, come and join me right here. Hallelujah. As they continue to sing the song. And if the praise team wants to join too, that's fine. the Lord and sickness cannot dwell together inside of you. If you make the Lord, if you prepare him an habitation, and he tabernacles inside you, and if you are that sanctuary, that living daily sanctuary, that tabernacle of praise, sickness cannot coexist in that same tabernacle. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. Now lift your hands up wherever you are. Lifting of hands is a sign of surrender. Lord, prepare me to be a living sanctuary. Not a sanctuary only when I come to church. Not a sanctuary only on Sunday and then Monday through Saturday I'm doing something else. But a sanctuary, a living tabernacle of praise every moment and every day of my life in the name of Jesus. Now let the high praises of God, the Bible says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. The remaining shackles that are in your lap, they are going to fall now in this next segment of praise. If you believe that, you can say amen. Amen. We're going to do a high praises of the Lord. And I'm going to ask Sister Folake to sing Kosobabire. That's right. And when we do that, I want you to get up. Don't be on your knees. You get up, you dance, and you praise the Lord. You shout the victory. You give the glory to God. And let's see those diseases. Let's see. I'm not going to be laying hands on anybody today. It's not necessary. The praises of God inside of you will bring him to tabernacle inside of you. Hallelujah. And he will take care of every situation. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. This is God's time, folks. Never mind anything else. This right now, it's his time. Praise the Lord. Never mind the offering. Never mind anything else. Right now, it's the praises of the Lord. Hallelujah. Right now, I want the people, you can give your offering later, but right now, I want you just praise the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to turn it over to Sister Folake and praise team. They will lead us in this glorious praise, and I want everybody to praise the Lord and dance your way into that victory. Hallelujah. Amen.